If the entire Bible were lost and the 15th chapter of Luke remained, it would be enough for us to know the nature of God's kingdom and the nature of God. Jesus tells a story. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of the sons said to him, "Father, give me the portion of the property that falls to me." So the man divided his living between them. And not long thereafter, the younger son gathered all that he had and went off into the far country. And there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything he had, behold, a great famine arose in the land, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to the citizen of a country who sent him out into the field to feed his swine. And he gladly would have eaten the pods on which the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he thought, "How many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and here I am perishing of hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say to him, 'I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But treat me as one of your hired servants.' But while he was at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to him, said to his servants, 'Bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring the ring and put it on his finger, shoes for his feet. Bring the fatted calf and let us make merry. For my son, who was dead, is alive again. He was lost. He was lost, but now he's found.' And they made merry together." Head counts are important. So learned a young shepherd who was leading a flock of 100 sheep. So learned a young pastor who was taking a group of youth on a long hike into the Nantahala National Forest, a distance that the camp host said was about 15 miles round trip. The young shepherd counted noses and realized that one of his sheep was missing. The young pastor counted noses and realized that one of his youth was missing. Happened to be the eldest son of my deacon chair, who actually had been walking for a good while with his good friend Lee Godsey, grandson of Kirby Godsey, president of Mercer at the time. But Lee had quickened his pace and had joined the group. Neil had fallen back. Now, losing the eldest son of your deacon chair is not a very good career move for a pastor. So I said to the group, "Y'all go on, I'm going back." Because searching is a form of grace. Anyone who has ever been lost and been searched for knows searching is a form of grace. So I went back and I found Neil, eyes wide as saucers, lost in that forest, looking every bit the part of a lost lamb. And I said to Neil, you and I are going to make the rest of this hike together. Now, Neil hadn't intended to get lost. He had just slowly slackened his pace, so gradually he had fallen farther and farther behind. Jesus makes the point in his first story that sometimes we lose the very presence of God gradually. The lost lamb was maybe a little weaker, maybe a little more curious, maybe a little more foolish than the other lambs, and by degrees has slowly lost the group, and the shepherd was slow to notice. We can lose things we treasure gradually before we realize it. That happens in some marriages. There's no great fight, no great breakup. Two people just evolve in different directions until one day you wake up in bed with a stranger to whom you happen to be married. No great fight, but you have pursued different agendas for so long that gradually you have drifted completely apart. You can lose friendships gradually. You can lose health gradually. You can lose a relationship with God gradually. No great crisis of faith, but over a series of change of habits, you wander from a sense of God's presence until suddenly you realize you are estranged from the divine. When the shepherd realized that one of his 100 sheep was missing, he knew the flock was not complete. He left the 99 and went, and he searched and searched until he found the lost lamb and brought it back. And then he said to his friends, "Let's have a party. Rejoice with me. For my lamb that was lost is now found." We can lose things gradually. We can also lose them abruptly. My family still talks about July the 4th years ago when we were off on a family reunion, and we had left our golden retriever Susie with one of our trusted friends who was a real dog person. And she had taken Susie out in the late afternoon before the fireworks started, but somebody set off fireworks early, and our golden retriever bolted into the woods in an unfamiliar neighborhood. So that when we returned from our trip, I had a lady almost on suicide watch because she had lost our dog, and my children were unconsolable. But they immediately sprang into action. My children, my mom, their friends spread throughout the neighborhood. They plastered posters everywhere. They knocked on doors. They talked to neighbors, talked to shopkeepers. They created a vast network of people looking for this four-legged hairball. Jesus says that is what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is meant to be a vast network of people who are on the lookout for those who are lost, who are outside the circle of grace. And the kingdom of God is meant to be a collection of people who form a network that invite others, invest others, integrate others into the family. If you want to know what the kingdom of God is like, says Jesus, sense how you react when you lose something precious and you throw everything you have searching for it. be so aware of those outside the circle of grace, be so intent about bringing them in the same way that my children and my mother and their friends search for my lost dog. And Jesus reminds us, when you bring someone outside the circle, when you invite them and you invest them and you integrate them into the family, there is more joy in heaven over that recovery than there is over the safety and security of the 99 other souls who need no such care. We can lose things gradually. We can lose them abruptly. The woman knocked her coin off the table inadvertently, and it rolled into a dark crevice. And she scoured her house, even though she feared maybe a thief came in and stole the coin. She scours and cleans her house, not knowing if she will find it. There are some losses in our life that are abrupt, and they often leave us devastated in the process. And some of those losses, those abrupt losses, are not our fault. Some of them are not our fault, but we think they are. Some of those abrupt losses are our fault, and we don't take responsibility for it. Some of those losses make us realize just how much we treasured what was lost. Some of those losses make us realize just how richly we have been blessed. The woman cleans her house, scours it, rearranges it, looking for that lost coin, not knowing if she will find it. Searching is not finding. My children, my mom, their friends realize the biblical truth that searching is one form of grace, but finding what you're searching for is an entirely different form of grace. When that woman scoured her house, she feared she might not find that coin in the same way my children feared they might not find their dog. But then when she found that coin, she brought her neighbors together and said, "Rejoice with me. The coin that was lost is found." In the same way, when that four-legged hairball had the sense to find a golf course and stretch out on the first tee, knowing that somebody on the first tee would take pity on her and restore her to her family. Searching is grace. But finding that for which you search is a greater grace. To search for something and to find it is to realize that that gift is a divine gift. Rejoice with me, for my coin that was lost is found. We can lose things we treasure gradually. We can lose them abruptly, and we can lose them willfully. The younger son says to the father, "Give me what's coming to me now." And the father gives it to him, and he goes off into the far country to live in a fatherless land, because he thinks that's the only way he can find himself. And he finds himself, but not in the way he expects. He squanders his inheritance in superficial living. He loses his dignity, his community, his family. And this good Jewish boy falls so deep that he finds himself slopping hogs, the very depth a profanation. And then, says Jesus, he came to himself. He realized, my identity is, I am the Son of the Father, but I have not acted like a son. I'm not worthy to be called a son. I will go back and simply ask my Father to accept me back as a slave. But the Father, no, sees him, runs to him, embraces him, kisses him, decks him out in the finest blessings he has to offer, and says to him what I said to Neil. You and I are going to make the rest of this pilgrimage together. Searching is one form of grace. Finding is another form of grace. But being found is the greatest grace of all. Years ago, I was a college student working as an RA camp counselor in the Talladega National Forest. And my role was to teach fifth and sixth graders wilderness skills. Every week I get a new group of kids, I take them out in the woods, I get them lost, and then I would slowly bring them back to camp. And they'd learn skills along the way. One particular week I had a really exceptional group of kids, and so I said, you see that peak over across the valley? We're going to be there at 4 o'clock. I didn't have a map, didn't have a compass, didn't even have a watch. But at 4 o'clock, we were at that peak, and I could hear the kids going, man, this guy's amazing. He could take us anywhere. Little did they know how true those words were. Not paying quite close enough attention, I took a wrong turn, and I realized, after trying to make a few adjustments, that I was definitely lost. And after an hour of adjustments, I had to tell the kids, which they'd already figured out, we're lost. And then I did something really stupid. I said to the kids, y'all stay here. I'm going to go find the trail. And I wandered off a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, until I found what I thought was the trail. But by then, I had lost the kids. That's been over 40 years ago. But I can still remember the electric fear coursing through my body. I was a college student. I was wrestling with God. Is my faith really real, or is it just a childhood habit? But in that moment, in my neediness, I fell on my knees and said, Lord, please, I need you. I need your grace. I need you to help me find my kids. And I took off running through the woods, jumping over rocks, tearing through briars, getting torn by thistles. I didn't care. And periodically, I would stop and go, hello! And hear dead silence. Do you know how devastating it is to scream out in the forest and to hear dead silence? I interpreted it as the silence of God. I ran and yelled, hello! Nothing. I saw it as the indifference of God, even though it was my mistake that had lost my kids. And then finally I yelled, hello! And I heard a hello. And I yelled again. And heard another voice. And we kept yelling until we found each other's presence. And we hugged, and I said, we're going home. But we weren't. The trail that I thought was the trail was not the trail. Dusk was beginning to fall.
was beginning to fall.
So I bedded, I made beds of pine straw for each kid. And we had a prayer. And in that prayer, I said these words, Lord, we have gone as far as we can go. We're at the end of our strength. If you are going to find us, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to bring us home the rest of the way. We got nothing left to give. Now, I know preachers are like Charlie J. They exaggerate. But I tell you the honest truth. I had no more said the word amen than I heard the sound of a trumpet. It was the recording of a trumpet that the camp played every night to call people to late devotionals. So we hop up, and we haven't gone 100 yards. And I wish the bluegrass band had sung that. I saw the light. I saw the light. It was a street light that marked the outskirts of the camp. Somehow, some way, we had gone all the way around the wrong side of the mountain and come in from a direction nobody thought was possible. But we were home. You know, there was a man who was a slave trader who was shanghaied by pirates, who was made a slave, who escaped slavery, wandered through the jungles of Africa, and fell prostrate on a beach where amazingly he was recovered and ferried back to England. That man is the one who penned the words, "Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." We can lose God's presence gradually. We can lose it abruptly. We can lose it willfully. But God intends for us to search and move back toward God's calling, back toward his light, because it's only in his presence, and it's only he who can bring us the rest of the way home. But when we've experienced that grace, we know who we really are for being found. That's the greatest grace of all. May we pray together. God of grace, we may lose ourselves or try. Like a lost sheep or a runaway coin or a stubborn young man. But your grace is unfathomable. And in your own way, you bring us back home. May we hear your call and respond, knowing that you call us to our true destiny through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.